told you that we told you the story about how we've been looking for a permanent meeting location and how everything seems to have fallen apart. And so our subject this morning is waiting to see what I've already seen. Waiting to see what I've already seen. There is a problem. There is a problem with being a visionary. Visionaries, a lot of times, are very frustrated people. Because visionaries have a tendency not to see things as they are, but as they should be, or as God wants them to be. And so it creates tension for the visionary, because God, I've said this to people everywhere I go, Sam, I've tried to tell people that God is the best salesperson in the history of salespeople. I heard one preacher say it this way. He said, God takes you as high as he can take you and lets you see as much as your eyes can take in. He was describing how visionaries get in trouble, what really drives us. He said, God takes you as high as he can take you, and he allows you to see as much as your eyes can take in. He said, then he just drops you on the ground, and you start running, chasing after it. He never, though, discouraged you from running or chasing after it. He knows eventually you'll figure out, I have to just walk this out. That I'm not going to get there any faster, no matter what I do. Are you hearing me? Our principal text is Habakkuk 2, verses 2 and 3. It's one of my favorite scriptures. I heard it for the first time as a young teenager. My former pastor, Bishop R.W. McMurray, a man who could preach so fiercely, they literally called him the preaching machine. And he preached this text one time, and I have never been able to do it the justice that he did it, but I'm going to try my best, okay? So Habakkuk 2, verses 2 and 3, please. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets. Record the vision. I'm sorry, you guys. That's going to bother me. Record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Now, I want you to keep that last verse up there, because I got to go through this again and give you all the Everett Spencer version, Everett Spencer translation. For the vision is for an appointed time. So every vision has an appointment. Every vision has an appointment. There is a time where what you saw, you will see. The question becomes, what do I do in the meantime? While I'm waiting to see the fulfillment of the promise, while I'm waiting to see this thing that God, see, here's what God does. He puts something in you, and that thing starts to drive you, and then all of a sudden it overwhelms you, and now you're totally consumed by something that nobody has laid eyes on but you. And it doesn't matter who says they believe in you. It doesn't matter who says they're with you. It doesn't matter who says they're for you. Because if they're not for that vision, they really can't help you. Are you hearing me? Because they don't understand what's driving you. So he says the vision has an appointment. And then he says it hastens toward the goal. So no matter how long you've been waiting, the vision is being rushed to its appointed time. So the waiting period seems long to you because you don't like to wait. Because it's uncomfortable. A woman gets pregnant, especially when it's the first pregnancy, and they get all excited, especially if they plan this, if this wasn't something that just happened in the back of a Chevy. Why y'all act like y'all don't know that this kind of stuff happened? Stephon, why they act like they don't know this kind of stuff happened, man? Why they try to act like I'm talking about something new? So it's something that she and her husband have been planning, and she's excited. All right. And she's the term is she's aglow. She's, you know, she gets this especially when they first get pregnant, they get this glow. Everybody can tell there's a glow. And so as time goes on, the glow kind of gets a little tainted because there's this thing called morning sickness that happens all time of day. I don't know why they call it morning sickness. Happens all times of day. Then her body starts to make these uncomfortable changes in order to make room for what's in her womb. Her body starts making all these uncomfortable changes. Then the thing that brought so much joy now is bringing me discomfort. This is more than a cynical spirit. I don't know what's wrong with these people. For those of you listening at home, we're talking about the comments that people keep giving to the preacher. I don't know why we have this kind of church. I really don't. But she becomes uncomfortable. Her feet may swell. She's now gained 50 pounds in a short period of time. Her body's not used to carrying this kind of weight. She's got all these additional fluids that she doesn't care nothing about, but they're for the baby. All of a sudden, the thing that brought joy now brings discomfort, and when the appointed time shows up, it's going to also bring pain. Are y'all hearing me? But all of that is for the moment that the doctor can say, you've got a healthy baby boy, you got a healthy baby girl. And I have to say it this way, in most cases, the joy returns. In most cases, the joy returns. But the vision was hastened. In other words, we know that the gestation period for a child is what? 9 months. So guess what? That child is coming in 9 months, whether you think so or not. When the time is up, you don't have to serve no eviction papers. Can't do none of that. And listen, when the time is up, the child don't care where you are or who you with. You can be sitting in the Oval Office talking to the president, and there's going to be a wet floor in the Oval Office because the child is ready. The vision is ready. Are y'all hearing me? So he says, though it tarries. Now the word tarry means what? To wait. Yeah, to wait. So he said, though the vision tarries, though the vision waits, you wait. I don't either, but I got to preach it anyway. It says, for it will certainly come. Now, here's the part that always gets me. It will not delay. Has anybody here been believing God for something that seems like it's delayed other than me? Seems like, you know, like there have been times when I had to talk to God and I'm literally like, okay, so what are you doing? What are you doing? Because this looks nothing like what we talked about. We had an agreement. And according to your word, you usually hold up your end of the agreement, but this don't look like you're doing it right now. Next. What is visionary leadership? What is visionary leadership? If you're going to talk about being a visionary leader or being associated or connected to a visionary leader, then you have to understand what visionary leadership is. I did not go to any Christian authoritative source for this definition. I wanted to know what the world says a visionary leader is, since we consult the world for everything else. Here it is. A visionary leader is an individual who sees the potential for how the world should exist and then take steps to get there. You can achieve visionary without a leadership role. Become an idea guy, for instance. I'm an idea man. That was one of my favorite lines from a Michael Keaton movie. Michael Keaton was playing this character, and Henry Winkler's character said, so what's your part in this business? What do you do? He said, me? I'm the most important person here. I'm the idea man. I come up with great ideas. It says, and you can successfully lead people to accomplish a course of action while not having a vision for the change you'd like to create. So every leader is not a visionary leader. Every leader... See, okay, let me give you an example. Would anybody try to argue the point that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was not a visionary leader? Dr. King was such a visionary leader that he saw something in this nation that the nation couldn't see in themselves. He saw something for this nation that the nation couldn't see for themselves. And in order to bring about the change that he was seeing, he had to be willing to make the sacrifice in order for that change to become a reality. Are you hearing me? All right. These two abilities combined, the ability to see the potential for change combined with the ability to lead others, create a visionary leader. Visionary leaders are, one, risk takers, two, they're listeners, and three, they take responsibility. One of the things I used to tell when I worked in the prisons of Ohio, one of the things I used to tell my staff all the time, I used to say, just do what I say. I guarantee you, if you just do what I say, I'll never leave you out on a limb by yourself. And it was sometimes hard to get them to believe that because they had worked for other leaders that would let them do stuff and then act like they didn't know anything about it. Are you hearing me? That's what's known as, you can help me with this, Sam, but that's what's known as a poor command. That's a poor command. A leader who won't take responsibility. A leader who wants to take all the credit but none of the responsibility. Are you hearing me? When the truth is, real visionary leaders take all the responsibility and share the credit. They give away the credit. This is what they did. This is what I was able to do with this team. That's how they talk. But when something goes wrong, they step up and go, I dropped the ball there. Now, they may not have had anything to do with it, but they understand that because they're the leader, they're the one who is, okay. I got a scripture. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. This verse could very easily read, where there is no visionary, where there is nobody who is saying, here's how we're supposed to be seeing this thing. I know it looks this way in the natural, but here's what God is saying it's supposed to look like. And here's how we as a people start to make what we see look like what we've seen. Are y'all hearing me? The song says, what my eyes can't see, I still believe. And so there has to be a conviction in the leader that says, even though I am not seeing what I think I should be seeing, I know what God showed me, and I trust him, and I trust what he showed me more than I trust my eyes. I tell myself all the time, your eyes are lying to you. This is not as it seems. Anybody remember the movie The Matrix? You ain't old enough to remember The Matrix. The Matrix. In The Matrix, nothing was as it seemed. Nothing was as it seemed. And that's the way it is in our reality, or what I would call our dual reality as believers. We have the reality of the world we live in, and then the reality of the kingdom that we serve in. Somebody asked me, one of my relatives asked me, because my brother, my older brother, I'll tell y'all a funny story. My older brother, along with his wife Diane, and my niece Michelle and her husband and their little girl Willow. So they drove up from New Jersey, and we met in Savannah, right? And so we went to Paula Deen's restaurant, and you know, folks was talking about, don't go to Paula Deen's. You shouldn't go to Paula Deen's because Paula Deen said the N-word. Guess what, y'all? If I wouldn't have went to Paula Deen's, I wouldn't have been able to help all them black folks keep their jobs. There was nothing working in there but black folks. Okay, and listen. Evidently, she was paying them well because they were happy to be there. Okay, and the food was. It's like Paula Deen must go to heaven to make food or something, because that stuff just wasn't ooh. So we're standing in Paula Deen's restaurant. And the ladies have gone to another floor, because there's like three floors. So they've gone to another floor shopping or whatever they're doing. And so I asked my nephew Bill, I said, where's everybody? He said, I think they're upstairs shopping. I said, oh, okay. Well, I'm going to sit my old bones down over here. And he said, oh, Unc, you ain't old. And I stopped for a minute and I said, well, you're right, because my older brother's here and I can't be old when he's in the room. I said, that's why God gives you an older brother. You have somebody to defer to when on the old stuff. So the visionary is the one who can see what God wants to do, no matter what it looks like on the outside. And it is a frustrating existence. I'm just telling y'all, it's a frustrating existence. If you have a vision for anything, the process will frustrate you. Are you hearing me? Next. Seeing things as God wants them always creates tension. Seeing things as God wants them always creates tension. Now, how many have you read the scripture that says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven"? So when we pray that prayer, what we are saying is, I want what heaven has as its rule and its law to be the rule and law here in the earth. That's going to create some tension. Because most of the people praying it, let alone most of the people in the world, most of the people praying it haven't fully convinced themselves that they should do things God's way. And so that's the tension that comes when you start seeing things from God's perspective. Are you hearing me? So I was saying to my brother, he was asking me about this whole thing with the coronavirus debacle and all that stuff. And I said, "Listen, man," I said, "I don't talk about that much." I said, "simply because it doesn't apply to me." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I am a sovereign citizen of heaven." I said, "That's an earth issue. That ain't my issue." So somebody said, "Well, what if you get it and you die? I get to go back to the place I came from." You got to understand that when you start seeing things from God's perspective, the Bible says this. The Bible says, "Love not the world, nor the things of the world." The Bible talks about the early believers. It says they didn't love their life. Are you hearing me? In other words, we get so caught up in what's going on here that we can never capture what's happening over there. And so we go through life talking about how much we love Jesus and how much we love serving him and I love being a part of the kingdom. But when the kingdom comes and it doesn't match up with what we are comfortable with, all of a sudden, we got a problem. I was on the elevator at the hotel. Young man gets on the elevator, and he had on a tank top, and he had a really nice tattoo on his left shoulder. And the tattoo said in bold red letters, "Fear none." And I said to him, I said, "That's a nice tattoo, young man." He said, "Thank you." And it had a picture of a tiger or a bobcat or something, the face. I said, "Is that a school mascot or something?" He said, "No, I just thought it was cool." I said, "Okay." I said, "That's a really nice tattoo." He said, "Thank you." Now, here's what struck me and stood out to me most. He got this huge tattoo, says "Fear none." He's standing in the elevator with a mask on. We were on a trolley, going to see the sights of Savannah, and they were talking to us about different. Savannah's a very interesting place. Now, I don't particularly care about their obsession with ghosts. They got an obsession with ghosts, and somebody needs to go cast that spirit out of there. But the history of Savannah is a very interesting history. Do you know that the oldest, I want me to wait? Do you know that the oldest black church in America is in Savannah? It was formed in 1859. Amazing. Well, we're on this trolley. The trolley is an open-air trolley, right? So it's not like we closed in on a bus and you got to worry about somebody sneezing on the back of your neck. It ain't that kind of deal. It's a real nice thing. I'm sitting there, and there was a little girl. We didn't tell you this story. There was a little girl on the trolley who she stopped us when we were all getting ready to get on the trolley, and her mother was talking to Carol, and the little girl had a dream about the rapture. 5 years old. had a dream about the rapture, and she started telling about the rapture. Now, you got to understand, I'm talking about getting heaven's perspective while you're still here in the earth. All right, that's what I'm talking about right now. Getting heaven's perspective while you're still here on the earth, and how seeing things God's way creates tension here in the earth. And so I had to encourage the little girl because she was kind of scared to tell the story. I told her, sweetheart, God showed this to you so you can tell it. I said, so don't be scared to tell it. Just tell the truth. Don't add anything to it. Don't take anything away from it. But this five-year-old girl, God showed her Jesus is coming and it ain't going to be long. Are y'all hearing me? So we can get all upset because things aren't the way we think they should be. Or we can just go, I'm going to get heaven's perspective and I'm going to live like I'm in heaven already. All right? Where am I at? I got scripture, another scripture. Habakkuk 2, verse 2, then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision or write the vision and inscribe it on tablets that the one who reads it may run. And one of my friends described this this way. He said, God said, hey, when you have a vision, put it on a billboard. That's what he means when he says, write it, inscribe it. He said that the one who reads it may run so that they don't have to stop to read it. Wouldn't it be something if people had to stop to read billboards on 85? So you want people to be able to keep going while you're feeding them, hey, here's heaven's perspective on this. Here's how we should be seeing this. Here's how we should be addressing this. Are you hearing me? I think I got one more point. Oh, another scripture. Oh, this one here, man. This is just. Thus says the Lord, Jeremiah 23, 16, 17. This is something else here. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you into futility. They speak a vision of their own imagination, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord has said you will have peace. And as for everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say calamity will not come upon you. What is he talking about? He's talking about people who claim to be visionaries, but they only want to tell you what you want to hear. See, one of the things visionaries have to do is they have to tell the truth. They have to say, this doesn't look like heaven. I know you're comfortable with it, but it doesn't look like heaven. Guess what? A two-year-old can get comfortable in a dirty diaper, but somebody needs to change it. And y'all know what? Anybody ever tried to change the diaper of a two- or a three-year-old? They will like fight you for that dirty diaper. They will literally fight you. I remember the first time my wife was trying to change my granddaughter. She couldn't even talk yet. But here's what she was doing. She was laying there screaming, wait, wait. I'm like, what you going to do with this dirty diaper? You're out here stinking up the whole house. What I'm trying to get you to see is sometimes people are in a mess of a situation and they still don't want to change. Somebody has to say, no, this needs to change and it needs to change immediately. But when you have people who are calling themselves leaders and they only tell people what they want to hear, what they're saying is your stinking condition is okay for you and it's all right with God. And I'm telling you that this is a lie. That God is not okay with us living stinking lives. Are you hearing me? All right. Waiting is essential, but is also part of the tension. Waiting is essential. It's a part of life. It's a part of life. You're going to have to wait. And we, you know, we don't like to wait for anything. I know I don't. I'm probably one of the most impatient people in the world, you know, and especially when I'm paying people for stuff. I paid you to get a job done. I need it done. Are you hearing me? I don't want to hear nothing about the weather. I don't want to hear nothing about your car broke down. I don't want to hear none of that. get it done. I'm serious. That's just how I'm wired, man. You know, I was telling a friend of mine, he was trying to get his business built, and the contractor kept extending the deadline. And I said to him, I said, "You didn't put a performance clause in the contract?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "It's supposed to cost him money for every time he delays. Every time he delays, he pushes it back a week or two, 10%. 10% penalty. You can have the 2 weeks. I'm just going to pay you 10% less. Pretty soon, you'll owe me money. And you'll still have to build it because we have a contract and I will sue you. Are you hearing me?" So waiting is a part of the process, but waiting creates tension. Because what happens with visionary leaders is while we're waiting, the frustration comes because we keep seeing something that we can't see. Are you hearing me? And here's the other part of it. It's even worse when you're seeing something that you cannot see in reality, and you don't even see that you have all the parts or the resources to make it happen. So now I not only got to believe God for this to happen, I got to believe him for the resources to make it happen. And he's expecting me to be loyal to it as if it's already here. He's expecting me not to quit. He's expecting me not to give up. He's expecting me not to get discouraged. While I'm waiting. That's why I had to sing. I have to sing that song. Because, you know, sometimes you just have to convince yourself. Y'all don't understand. I was up here prophesying to me. While I'm waiting, I'm getting strong. I don't feel like it. Listen. Because you're fighting not only for your mental health, but you're fighting for your spiritual health. Are you hearing me? I can't tell y'all how many times I've said to myself, "I know I ain't crazy. I know I ain't crazy. I know what God said to me. I don't know why this looks like this. I don't know why this is happening like this." And literally have gone to God and said, "Dude, what are you doing?" Because this is how I talk to him when it's just, you know, all these fancy prayers y'all up here. "Most precious and holy Father, we certainly thank you for your grace and your mercy." That's what I do for y'all. When I talk to God, I'm like, "Bruh, what are we doing here? Why is this going this way? Why do I have to endure this?" Do y'all know that Jesus, see, y'all think it's just me. Jesus was a visionary leader. Jesus got so frustrated with the disciples, he literally said at one time, "How much longer do I have to endure you? How much longer am I going to have to put up with this?" Why? He had a vision and he wasn't seeing it. Are you hearing me? Next. Verse 3, Habakkuk 2, verse 3. "For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It hastens. Toward the goal, it will not fail." Now that's the part that I have to keep telling myself. It will not fail. Somebody said to me, "You know, if you're going to do this launching a church thing, you have to understand failure is an option. Not if you got a vision from God. It will not fail. If you're gonna build a business, you gotta understand failure is an option. Not if you got a vision from the Lord. Not if God told you to do it." Now listen, does that mean it's gonna work the first time? Nope. Does that mean it's gonna work the second time? Nope. You just have to be committed to say, "This is what God told me to do, and I'm gonna keep doing it until I see what he showed me." The next line is the line that I have trouble with. "Though it waits, you wait. Though it waits, you wait." So here's the picture I get in my head when I read that chord. I get this picture in my head that I have an appointment, right? Appointed time. Isn't that what it says? Appointed time. I have an appointment, okay? The vision is waiting on me to show up for the appointment. And I'm waiting for the vision to show up for the appointment. Anybody getting this other than me? This is what this scripture just said. This is what the scripture just said. We both waiting. We both waiting on something to happen so we can come together. So that faith, what I see in faith, can intersect with the reality I have in this world. Are you hearing me? For it will certainly come. That's the encouragement. It will certainly come. It will certainly come. That last line. I'm going to be honest with y'all. That last line is a little insulting to my intelligence. Because I know God said it's not going to delay. But I'm going to be honest with you, Lord. It feels like a delay. I ain't saying you lied. Nope, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying your word is not right. I'm just saying it feels like it's delayed. This is why I tell myself all the time, don't trust your feelings. You can always count on Barb to get one good point in a Sunday. She gonna scream it from the, and then, but see, it's all the other stuff you got to put up with her screaming that creates the problem. Like she'll scream 10 things and one of them going to be a good point, and she feel like that justifies the other 9. But good point, Barb. Thank you for helping the preacher. Those of you at home that couldn't hear what Reverend Barb said, the right Reverend Barb Dennis said, you don't know the appointed time. It's God's appointed time. And so you need to understand that Barb is trying to encourage you that it's not delayed. You just don't know when the heavenly UPS guy is going to show up. I love this church, man. I do. I love this church. But lady, I'm going to need you to get your kids together. I really am. All right. Have any more scriptures? James, okay, that's right. James 5:7-8. Therefore, be patient. What does the word patient mean? Long suffering, wait. Therefore, be patient, wait, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer, watch this, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. Go on. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Now, I'm going to read this again in the Amplified. Watch this. So be patient, brethren, as you wait till the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits expectantly for the precious harvest from the land? See how he keeps up his patience, his patient vigil over it until it receives the early and late rains? So you also must be patient. Establish your hearts. Strengthen and confirm them in the final certainty, for the coming of the Lord is near. So he said, look at how this farmer, you know, I told y'all my grandfather was a farmer. And here's what farmers do. They know they planted seed, and they understand. They don't understand how it works. They don't understand all about how the seed germinates. They don't understand. That's all the science. They don't understand all that. They just know I put seed in the ground, and if the ground is fertile and the ground gets water, the seed is supposed to produce something for me. And so they watch and listen. Every farmer knows when the harvest time for what he has planted has come. You don't have to remind him. If you don't believe me, go out to Babby's house. Charles got stuff planted everywhere. He said, I got some greens over here, boy. I asked him the other day, I said, did you put down some watermelon? He said, I sure did. I said, you need me to come out here and sit a vigil with the rifles to keep the deer out of it? I didn't realize deer like watermelon as much as they do. He said, no. I said, because I'll shoot a deer for you now. Over a watermelon, that's right. And then we'll have deer jerky and watermelon. Here's the last thing I want you to see. This is a quote from the Amplified. It says, patience is not the ability to wait, but it's how we act while waiting. It's how we act while waiting. So in other words, I told you there's all this tension, there's all this frustration, but how are you going to act? How are you going to conduct yourself while you're still trusting God to do what he promised you to do? Because God didn't give you the vision for the vision to frustrate you. T.D. Jakes said one time, he said he was talking to a group of preachers, room full of preachers. He said, I'm going to tell y'all something that's going to trouble most of you. He said, it's going to create a real problem for you. He said, God didn't give you the vision for you to do it. He gave you the vision for you to watch it happen. In other words, the stuff that you're doing can't become laborious to you. It can't become frustrating to you because you're really just in partnering, you're just in partnership with God and watching happen what he wants to happen. Somebody say amen. All right, that's my time. Let's give God a hand praise. Bless the name of Jesus. Our Father and our God, we certainly thank you for this day and this message. We thank you for your word. We know that your word comes to reprove us. It comes to shape us. It comes to make us. It comes to cleanse us. Lord, I pray that the word would take root deep in the heart of the hearers. I pray, God, that in their own respective homes, in their own respective lives, that each one will become a visionary leader, understanding how to lead, how to reach the goal, the vision that you've given them for their lives. We thank you for it now. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.